We know that it's not attainable. We know that it doesn't even exist, yet we still set our minds on it. It's almost like we're masochists.
You've just tuned into Rebel Wellness Podcast, your resource for realigning and revitalizing your health and well-being. I'm your host, Kaylee, also known as Coach Kales. I'm a holistic health educator, certified nutritionist, and fitness professional of nearly a decade. I'm stoked to have you with us. You just joined a community of amazing souls who are ready to break free from the confines of the often outdated and confusing health advice all around us. Living in a world overwhelmed by quick fix diets and unrealistic beauty and body standards, us rebels stand for change. If you're like me, you're exhausted with the confusion and polarization plaguing the social media health scene. My mission is to empower you to step beyond today's diet culture, adopt a holistic health approach paired with the foundations of science for lasting, well-rounded wellness. Through teaching you how to tune in and embrace your mind, body, and soul, we'll reject one-size-fits-all solutions, realigning you on a better path that honors your unique needs and values. With new episodes weekly, this podcast is your sanctuary for deep wellness exploration, featuring expert advice, real-life stories, and a true commitment to your growth. Your journey to better health and simplicity in life begins now. Let's jump right in. What's up, Rebels? Welcome back to the show. Today, I kind of felt like taking a pause from the nutrition episodes just so that we could have a little, you know, moment for some lifestyle chats because we haven't done that lately. And, you know, Kales loves to do a little check-in here and there, especially when it comes to this chapter of life that I've been in. You know, a lot of you who have been following either my story or you're an old client of mine or friend or any of those kind of things, you guys know that I have taken time back for myself. Last fall, I did about 3 month semi-sabbatical, and then I just started and stepped back a little bit from work, my graduate degree, as I went back to school for clinical nutrition because I keep wanting to continue being able to understand everything that I want to help people with. And I hit a crossroads where I had gotten to this space with my, you know, lifestyle nutrition coaching and fitness coaching where I was really fulfilled with how I was able to impact people's lives through their health because, I mean, we don't have life without our health, as basic as it gets. And I was starting to realize that, I wanted to be able to do more. And conversations were really pushing the boundaries of what I understood and what I could provide as far as value and, you know, even just plain old help for them. And I really wanted to increase my not only accreditations, I almost said a credibility, but also kind of that. I just literally needed to have that professional education because I've talked about this before, but if you're new here, you know, I'm totally one of those people who doesn't like to talk about things that they don't really know. And I'm a big researcher. I love to research and dive into things and understand why. I was thinking about this the other day that I have become the epitome of the child who is always why or how does that work and why? And it's carried on into my adulthood where that is my constant question. I am always wondering, you know, what is there else to this picture that people aren't exploring or doesn't turn a profit, so they're not really talking about it until they're forced to, you know? And the last several years, we've really seen a lot of topics in health, hormone replacement therapy for females through menopause as a really good example, that it's been waysided and pushed on the back burner because it's so much more profitable to sell supplements and services and all these different things instead of just assisting women with the very obvious thing that is happening to them, which major shifts of hormones in their bodies. And, you know, all of the old things that we all knew, doctors weren't being taught it in school, we're just kind of ignoring it. And the standard jargon was HRT causes cancer, right? How many of us still believe that because we don't know what I was just talking about? Tons of people, you know? And so unfortunately, it's extremely common. So that's just an example of why I have this kind of life mission to continue to increase how I understand women's health so I can continue to provide that value for you guys and education, because I do believe that knowledge is power, and being empowered to better understand yourself is going to set you free from being stuck in the conventional medicine system and stuck in this kind of hamster wheel of poor health that a lot of us are seeing ourselves, you know, existing in these days. So that's my whole mission. That is exactly the whole reason that I am back in school, you know. And I know it was not probably the thing that a lot of, you know, my clients that I've worked with for years wanted to hear, because, you know, I did step back from about 75% of my clientele. I've been fortunate to operate with a full load of clients since year three of my business. I think actually even around year 2.5. And so this for me is extremely uncomfortable, not only, you know, financially, which is obvious, which is honestly probably why a lot of people never do stuff like this, but at the same time, it was extremely uncomfortable basically having to, you know, in my head, I feel like I'm abandoning them, but in reality, you know, say goodbye or goodbye for now to a lot of my clients that we've built really strong relationships, you know, guiding them with their health and kind of being that bestie in the health world. And so for me, this has been a really interesting experience trying to rewire and form a new foundation for this next chapter of my business. And I really wanted to spend some time today to share with you guys, for whoever wants to listen, to this concept that I think is really important that I actually implemented and used as part of my original old fitness business on my website. If you used to see my old CBK, Coach by Kells website, it's the dark purple and the black and all my sporty pictures. I had a section that was about the pillars, and I had a section that was kind of talking about my philosophy around balance. And this philosophy isn't just mine. It is one that I've come to find to make the most sense. I do distinctly remember pondering this concept at one of the gyms I used to work at after having a discussion with one of my clients. But I do know that everybody's ideas are influenced by somebody else's thoughts and or experiences. And I know there's a ton of probably renowned speakers out there who talk about this same concept. But I want to share with you guys how I implemented, how it's impacted me, and how I view balance in my life. And then kind of where I've landed ever since taking a step back, taking care of myself, having a soft girl season, and really wanting to reset this next chapter of my business to really have a more freedom-based business and one that actually takes care of myself and, you know, this next chapter of my life where I do plan to potentially have a family, you know, or things, anything that can be something that will take a lot of my time and attention as well, you know. So if you're somebody who's kind of exploring or maybe resonate with being like a go-go-go, very ambitious, high-powered woman, and you are kind of feeling either lost, overwhelmed, burned out, there's a lot of great nuggets of wisdom in today's conversation. So I hope you guys enjoy it today. And as always, go ahead and go over to Instagram if you are on there. Join our Instagram community. We have Rebel Wellness Podcast, where you guys will find out exactly when I launch podcast episodes if you don't get notifications on wherever you stream. And you can also follow at Kaylee Loren. That is my flagship coaching page. So there's going to be a lot more about me, my life, what I'm teaching, you know, a lot of great resources as far as nutrition, maybe a little bit more fitness. I might incorporate some more of that for a lot of you guys. And KayleeLoren.com is a great place for you to go sign up for our newsletter. We are doing a massive overhaul, guys. That's what 2025 is for CBK, which, if you don't know what CBK is just the shortened version of Coach by Kales, which is my overall business. For a long time, you know, I'm kind of in that space where I am remodeling things, and I'm like, how much do I really want to change when it comes to that? If you're a fellow entrepreneur, maybe you've experienced this when you've not necessarily pivoted, but evolved as a business owner. And for nearly a decade now, I've been coached by Kales. So I might continue forward with that. You know, everybody in my community out here knows me as Coach Kales. So I'm definitely still Coach Kales, and we'll see where the business goes in the near future. But I do know for a fact that you are going to be gearing up for a really awesome relaunch, what this evolution of my current business is. So I'm really excited to share it with you guys, and I'm really excited to continue to kind of absorb everything that I'm learning through my graduate program and others that I, professionals I get to work with and network with and learn from, and you guys get to see and hear from more of them actually this year on our interviews and more to come. But I'm just very excited for it. So I really wanted to give you guys a little bit of a sneak peek into that, because I know some of you are frequent flyers. So thank you so much for supporting and listening to the podcast. And I hope that you continue to get a lot of good value out of it, because that is the whole goal. That is the reason I am talking into a microphone every few weeks for you. Okay, so let's dive into how to better frame balance in your mind so that you don't reach burnout like I did. So if there is one thing I've observed over coaching hundreds of women now at this point in my career and my own personal experience, it would be this strange myth that there is something called balance. Or a lot of women deal with the concept of the you can have it all, or the like do it all mom, or whatever. Basically, it's that concept that somehow we should be able to find the ability to do everything all at once, all the time, and be balanced. And that could mean, like, you know, if you were to think of categories, you know, work-life balance. There you go. That's one of the most common things that we hear people say, you know, your work-life balance is off, blah, blah, blah. And I used to think about this a lot, you know, like I said earlier in the introduction, how I would have conversations with clients and then I would kind of like sit and ponder on like, what exactly does balance mean? What does it look like? You know, are they just phrases that we say that we hold our lives to a standard of, but it's not actually a real thing. You know, there's actually so many things in life that we have put on a pedestal and chase and kill ourselves over. And in reality, it's just kind of this fluid, like, illusion that is not really tangible, you know? And it's strange because even like perfection, like the perfection myth, we know that it's not attainable. We know that it doesn't even exist, yet we still set our minds on it. It's almost like we're masochistic or something like that. And for those of us who, you know, if you're like me and you also are trying to challenge yourself and be the best version of yourself and be the, you know, for me, like one of the best resources for whoever I get to help and work with, you're going to be chasing this sort of mythical balance god for the rest of your life because you think that you should be able to, especially like for me as like a health professional, like, okay, I should be embodying the epitome of health while simultaneously running my whole business as, you know, currently kind of a solopreneur, but at the same time moving forward into the future and like wanting to have a family and have that like be there for my children, because I really personally for me don't want to be a mom that is always working through those very short, rare young years of my children's life. I don't want to do that. Like, I've watched like my parents' generation do that. I've watched the generation before that do that. And we've seen kind of what happens when you don't get to have a really good quality childhood with your kids. And for me, it's not worth maintaining and being some high-powered career girl and missing out on my child's life if I decide to have kids, you know? And so for me, like, that's just my, again, that's my personal reason for shifting into this phase where I'm like, okay, I just came into my 30s and I am burned out. My body is giving me all these signs and symptoms and I love what I do, but I really want to explore more. I really want to explore this next area of what I could provide and what I could build and, you know, what I could make for my community, because that's what's really important to me. I've shifted my focus away from being super scalable and wanting to be national and wanting to build something like a millionaire business, because as entrepreneurs, like, we are always searching more, more, more. And like, the more I've listened to these amazingly successful entrepreneurs, specifically females, they've always said in the beginning of their business, they burned themselves out because they kept chasing a higher income month. Like, okay, I made, let's say, like $5,000 this month. Okay, I need to make $5,500. Okay, I made $6,000. I want to make $7,500, you know, and going and going, going. And then if you don't outdo your previous month, you feel like a failure. And so you try to do more. And that innately causes like an imbalance. And I firsthand experienced it. And all of these, you know, amazing entrepreneur women who are multi-million dollar businesses, they hit this kind of rock bottom because they realize that that's not actually how you set up a freedom-based business. And there's different types of businesses because there's people who want to like make something and then like sell it off, you know, and that's a whole different thing. There's people who don't actually want to be entrepreneurs, you know, maybe you don't fall into that category at all, but you are trying to climb the ladder at your work. And it's so easy for your bosses and the higher ups in general to just take advantage of you, especially as a female, because you will take on more no matter what, right? And no matter what, we're always going to feel guilty as women, especially once children are in the picture, or even just with your partner, that you will be giving more to one category of attention or energy needing thing in your life. And it usually is cutting away from any energy or attention on yourself, right? And this is why a lot of our health just starts to kind of plummet, or we get so spread thin that we're showing up very poorly in our life. And so for me, that's when a moment when I really realized that I was starting to do that was I had hit my first $10,000 month, which, you know, I know there's people out there who make like $40,000 a month. So like, that's great for you. Cool. But when you are a young female, like I was in my early 20s and I did this thing that there was a lot of people who told me like it wouldn't be successful. And I was able to achieve like a five-figure month. Like, that's pretty badass. It's pretty cool. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to maintain this and try to continue to get to 11,000 and keep climbing the ladder, right? And what I didn't realize is that I had suddenly crept into the zone where I literally did not have enough hours in the day for how many clients I needed. And when you're in training, each client at least takes up an hour a month, if not an hour every week. Most clients sign up to see you one time a week, right? So you're a 50-minute session that is devoted to one person. You only have so many 50 minutes in your day, right? Realistic ones too, because there's hustling moments where you're working from like 5 a.m. until like easily 7 p.m. and it gets away from you with maybe like a lunch break. And so that's the time where I started to realize that there was no balance. I was just simply working constantly, and I had put people on my Saturdays. I had worked Saturdays for majority of my career because that was a really another popular day that a lot of people who like had busy work weeks preferred. So I was like, yeah, sure. More money. I got time. I got nothing else to do. You know, I had boyfriends here and there, but I was mostly kind of doing my own thing. And so it was so easy to creep into this state of imbalance. And I remember thinking that like, okay, so how do I balance in a perfect balance, a work-life balance? How do I bring more health back in? Because I started to realize like I was eating like Starbucks, egg bites in between clients, like whatever I could just grab. And I wasn't having any chill downtime, because when you're training, I think a lot of people don't understand that we professional trainers, essentially how you show up that day is what we train. You know, we can plan out your workouts, we could follow a program, but it's always going to need to be fluid. And I was the style of trainer where I built an entire program in my head every time I saw you, because if you plan something and somebody shows up and like their shoulders busted and your whole day was arms, then you're screwed. And then what do? You know, and that happened a couple times to me in my early career. And that's when I quickly learned and built a skill of having this giant like archive of workouts and things in my mind. And, you know, paired with my kinesiology degree, it was much easier for me to just be like, okay, well, I know what you need. We know your goals. And then I can just build a workout on the fly kind of thing that I know is going to still be periodized, you know, scalable, all that kind of stuff. And so all to say, I would be doing that while simultaneously talking or coaching people and making them do their fitness routine. So we'd be sometimes talking about nutrition, sometimes talking about life, sometimes talking about like their fitness things or their body and their movement while I'm programming them, while I'm also moving weights all day and stuff. So I kind of am just painting all those details for you guys so you can just really see that there was like no chill. And then I would still try to get in a workout at some point, at least, you know, at the peak of everything, maybe 4 or 5 days that week. And it was just outrageous. Like sometimes I look back to it and I'm like, it's no wonder I've arrived at 30 with some significant, well, they're not really calling it adrenal fatigue anymore, like HPA access dysfunction, which is adrenal dysfunction, the communication between your adrenal glands and your brain, essentially. And so for me, you know, it makes a lot of sense that I have issues with my cortisol and therefore my hormonal production. And I'm still like a little over a year into actively working on fixing all of those things. But it was very clear that even though I was doing the right things for being that level of a fitness professional and having my own business and making over 6 figures a year, it started to become very obvious that it was not sustainable and that it was definitely not something that was going to bring joy and, you know, wellness out of my life. And I'm like, how do you be a health and wellness professional and example and not actually embody it, you know, just chasing dollars? So for me, that kind of myth of balance kind of came to a head really about 2 years ago. And then last year, I finally had the balls to basically jump into it. And so, I mean, honestly, I think it came even earlier than that, but like several years ago, more than just 2 years ago. But I do recall really starting to ponder, like, how do I transition from this business to what I dream of, what my heart really wants, what I'm super passionate about, what I really want to do in my lifetime, because we only get one lifetime, right? And so I kind of realized then that like, okay, well, this is going to be hard, but I'm good at making hard decisions, even if it's challenging to communicate. I like hard conversations. I'm a weird person. However, I will say that it wasn't easy to execute. I definitely dragged my feet for several years. And, you know, saying goodbye or, you know, pausing clients that I've worked with for over 5 years, like it's kind of like having a weird breakup. And it's really tough to navigate, you know, and I don't think I necessarily navigated it perfectly because they don't teach you that in any of my entrepreneur schools or any of my certifications. And so that was definitely one of those things where I had to actually walk the walk of taking care of yourself and doing what's right for you and your life sometimes looks like disappointing people. And that's okay. You know, like ultimately everyone I disappointed simultaneously were supporting me and were proud of me, but were more just sad because we're saying goodbye to something that was an old, comfortable, extremely, you know, familiar routine. And it was changing. And it was changing, and it is changing in a way where it's like, I don't actually know what my services look like in this moment and what I'm available to do because I'm full-time in school and I'm learning a fuck ton of stuff all at once. And I'm really trying to find what I come out of this like the most passionate about because I have so many different things that I'm multi-passionate about when it comes to the wellness world, specifically women's wellness. And I want to be able to figure out exactly what to hone in for, you know, all my female clients and listeners and everything. And so this space is kind of where I've started to ponder that concept of balance again. And I feel like the distinction between what we're told, like as far as society pushing that idea that we should have everything in a perfect balance, your career, your relationships, your health, social life, downtime, etc., you know, balance isn't static, it's fluid. And what I realized is like, what is the most important to you is what you should balance. So if you're somebody who really doesn't care about a social life, you know, for example, there's definitely some people out there who could care less, and you really do love your job or what your partner, it's spending time with your partner, perhaps. I mean, I don't know if that counts as a social life. It kind of does, but kind of doesn't. Because I think of social life more of like going out and with your community and being involved with more than one person. But, you know, if you're somebody who also just like wants your downtime, your me time, and you want to prioritize that, like maybe on your scale towards the top is actually your career and maybe your partner and your downtime. And then like social life and everything else is like lower on the scale. Which, like, I don't know if that really works, because it's like balance is supposed to be, you know, balanced. But again, with the concept of it being totally not the way we think of it as like a perfectly balanced scale, I just wanted to kind of phrase it in a way where you understand that like you can prioritize other things that matter more to you, even if the world says you should have all of those like perfectly balanced. Because again, there is no specific God of balance. We don't have any standard that is real to actually make something attainable. Because again, balance isn't static, it's fluid, because our lives move in seasons. And I think that's something that's really important, especially for you listening, is that your life should never be matching the same thing that you did in your early 20s, in your late 20s, in whatever season of your life you've felt the best and you just need to get back to. I got to tell you, you're never going to go backwards. You're supposed to go forwards. And if you are trying to achieve and attain a version of you that was from the past, that's literally impossible. You're literally never going to be able to do that again, okay? I know that a lot of people are like, well, you know, I mean, just like, I want to feel that way again, or I want to have that lifestyle again. It's like, well, look at your life. Are you in college? Do you have no responsibilities? Do you have your parents' credit card still or something like that where you can like go to Starbucks every day or some shit? Like, probably not, right? Like, if you also had that, that's lucky. I've never experienced that. I've had friends who got to go to college and their parents gave them a credit card for like food and whatever. And I literally never got that experience, so, which is okay. But at the same time, I just have to like put a little anecdote in there. It's like, if you got to have that life, you was lucky. But just think of that life. You literally will never have that again. Your parents aren't going to give you their credit card for you to go spend at the age of 40. Like, that's a whole different lifestyle. So trying to go backwards, even physically, that is probably the most common thing I hear from women, is I want to look, or I want to fit in the jeans that I wore when I was 18, when I was a senior in high school. And I'm like, that's so weird, you know? Like, you didn't go through all the amazing things in your life yet. You know, a lot of people don't necessarily think of all the experiences they've had, like, especially children. Having children, a lot of women are given the narrative that it ruins their body. And I like to think of focusing into, it's changed your body, because your body did this really freaking fantastic thing that only female bodies can do and grow a human. And it's going to stretch and change and look different. Your hair might turn curly if it was straight, and your feet might get bigger. But that doesn't mean that you're somehow damaged. That means that you've just evolved, right? You've created something, you pushed that thing out of your body, and then now your body's just changed a bit. And that's not a bad thing. And same thing goes for your seasons in life, you know, and what you can prioritize and have more balance for. This is a constant thing that I'm always having conversations with a lot of, especially, again, my very ambitious, high-powered females, is they're always thinking like, well, I should be able to do this still. And, well, you shouldn't should on yourself. That's one of my favorite quotes. But you should also understand that, like, you're really not supposed to think that there's some sort of perfect balance, because it's just setting you up for guilt and failure. And there is nothing that can ever happen in your life that will you will be able to give equal energy to it. That's just completely unrealistic. You are always going to have a different season in life that's going to require more of your energy. And so, like I was saying, with a lot of these conversations with clients and even in my own life, you know, some of us get pissed off that like, I can't do 4 workouts a week anymore. And that's why my body doesn't look like this. Or if I just do this, I know that I can look like this, or I can achieve this health goal, X, Y, Z. And that's typically a major point of, I'm not going to say contention because it's not contention for us, but it's a talking point where I really try my best to explain how we simply cannot hold ourselves to that unrealistic standard when you have like kids or you got a huge promotion that requires more hours of your time during the week. I think I've talked about this in the past, but there is no way that you can juggle all the same balls all the time. There's seasons in life where you have to set some balls down. And sometimes that does look like putting down some of those usual workout sessions a week that you have once you have kids. That doesn't mean that you need to let yourself go or any of these different common situations that a lot of women struggle with or try to avoid. But it does mean that like maybe you do need to soften how hard you measure yourself against a past self. I really have beef with the body bounce back thing post babies, because again, not only for what I've already described of how your body should change after you've grown a human or two humans at once, which is crazy. One of my closest friends grew two humans at once and I was like, that is just insane. But you also are going to need to heal, and healing looks softer. You know, it's kind of like the soft girl season thing that I went through. Like, shouldn't have a quote unquote hard body all the time, especially as a female. A really lean toned body as a female is like for an entire lifespan is typically the same body that ends up with osteoporosis or massive nutrient deficiencies or dementia or Alzheimer's or all these different nutrient deficient diseases that we are now knowing are caused by like not enough fat intake or any of those different things, which a lot of brain degenerative diseases are correlated to lack of healthy omega-3s and good healthy fats consistently throughout your youth. And so this is something where we have to view our health and our seasons in life and our body as it goes through those seasons as just that, like shifting dynamically with whatever balance you need in that season. And this is super important for my moms listening, because I think the hardest thing is holding yourself to that standard of, you know, the body you had in your mid 20s, when now you're in your mid or late 30s, and you've got toddlers running around, and you might have to literally starve yourself and overtrain yourself and Ozempic yourself to get to what you consider your healthiest body now or whatnot. But is it really, you know? Because again, you're going to be like sacrificing everything, and it's going to be, you're not going to be as present with your kids because you're going to be hyper-focused and in all the gaps when they're taking naps or at school or at, you know, friends' houses, trying to, you know, attain this physique for what, you know, just for achieving that, having it all and having that balance and la, la, la. And so, you know, and that's okay, I guess, if that's something that you want, but I would just encourage you to not spend your entire life trying to achieve a body that you think makes you look like you have balance in your life when it comes to juggling motherhood, a career, or a social life, and maintaining a beautiful home, and all these different things. Because I think that that keeping up with the Joneses kind of concept is really robbing a lot of us from embracing the beauty of a unique and short season, especially like, again, when your kids are young, like I was talking about earlier. And, you know, not only that too, there's just so much time that we end up spending kind of trying to have this balance. And then we continue to think that we still don't have it. Does that make sense? Like we're doing the most, and then we still think that like, I just don't have it down yet. But like, who says when you do, you know? Like I was saying, sometimes some people will be like, oh, well, so-and-so has a great body, has a happy husband, has a great career, has this nice, their kids are perfect, their house is perfect, blah, blah, blah. And so that's balance. So they're obviously balancing it all. But behind the scenes, They're on the brink of divorce. She's starving herself or using medications to be lean. She's having wine every night, not talking about it, like getting a lot of facial procedures or things like that to look a certain way. In reality, if she didn't do those procedures, she looked super tired. She may not actually have like close relationships with her children. You know, there's so many different things that like actually go into it. And I'm not talking about anybody specifically. I'm just talking about a really common scenario that I've observed and seen. And we've all seen it on TV. You know what I mean? But we all like are holding ourselves to this weird standard where we think that like, oh, from the outside, this person looks this way. So therefore, I must try to live my life to get to that standard and achieve that level of balance. When in reality, there is no balance over there. It's a hot mess. Okay. So remember that when you're thinking about how you want to live your life and how you want to achieve your version of balance, because that's something that I used to say, you know, like I was saying on my old website, and I used to explain it to a lot of my clients, is that your version of balance should be custom to you. It should be how you feel you shape your life around what matters the most to you right now, in this moment, or the future life that you want to have. So prioritizing not only, you know, maybe you see yourself having a robust career in your 20s and 30s, and you want to be able to like shift towards a more part-time retirement once you hit like your 40s or 50s, or maybe it's the opposite, you know, maybe you actually want to enjoy your 20s and 30s a little bit more and then hyper-focus into a career in your 40s and 50s. You know, life doesn't end when you have kids. Life doesn't end when you shift into another decade. None of that stuff is true. A lot of that stuff is all a lie to kind of keep us small and not pursuing our passions. I am all for people jumping into something that they are now extremely passionate about and interested in at any age of their life. And that's something that like my grandmother always, you know, exampled for me, was that at any point in your life, you can do any career. You can pivot. You can change your mind. You can do a whole bunch of different things. You can, you know, you can't have a kid probably after 50, but I've had plenty of clients have healthy pregnancies between the ages of 38 and 42. And so there's a lot of different things that I think society kind of puts us in a box and kind of keeps us restricted, especially when it comes to thinking of having it all and having this perfect work-life balance. And in the end, you know, it's all kind of an illusion, like I was saying. So I hope me kind of sharing a little bit about my own journey and thought process through this is helpful for you to reflect on your own, because I think it's really easy for us to get caught up in, you know, comparisonitis, looking at everybody, especially with this fantastic thing that we call social media that keeps us tuned in to everyone else's lives at all the time. And we know seemingly everything about everyone else and nothing at the same time. You know, like it is the most interesting dichotomy that is all around us all the time. And you might find yourself trying to do the most all the time. And especially if you, you know, are like an entrepreneur or you are trying to create this life for yourself, you're in between jobs, or you want to shift careers, you want to do something different, it can be really scary because you can feel like, I don't know how I can do any of this at the same time as my other goals of like having a family or traveling the world or, you know, taking care of a parent or taking care of somebody in your family that is like sick or ill. And that's, you know, that's really tough. It is really tough to try to figure out like what matters the most to you. But instead of asking like, how do you balance it all, start asking yourself what matters the most right now. And that's what you should focus on, because it really should always be what matters the most to you in this season of life. And that's what you should focus on. So for example, if you're a mom right now, you have littles under the age of, let's say like 8, because those are all the crazy years. I mean, it's crazy elsewhere too. I've definitely had, you know, I've seen the spectrum, but let's say you have littles under 8 and you are just frustrated that you cannot get your butt in the gym consistently. So what? What can you do and what are you doing right now? Do your children matter the most to you right now? Yes. Okay. So how can you pair spending that time with your kids as much as you want to, and maybe mix in a little bit more of movement or activity that can also support your goal to stay healthy and stay active? You don't need to be weightlifting every single day in those years to achieve health. You can also be taking them on long walks, going swimming with them, take them to the park and actually go play around on the play structures and such. And, you know, or teaching them sports and playing some sports with them. There's so many different things that you can do to keep up with that, you know, movement goal, that when you get into a space where you do have time back because they're gone at school all day or something like that, then that's when you can bring back in your strength training routine. You know, years move so quick now. I mean, we all know that. How is it already 5 years past 2020? Like, it still blows my mind because I remember literally sitting on my couch one day thinking, this is such a strange time. I wonder what it's going to be like in 5 years from now. And we are now 5 years from then. And life is definitely unpredictable and kind of wacky. But at the same time, it is amazing for me because I've finally been able to step into my power and really walk the walk of shifting into the balance where I want to go back. I want to spend time with education. So for me, now I'm prioritizing more energy and attention towards school and my education and taking care of myself and my health and getting proper sleep for once. When in the past, it was growing my business, servicing my clients, like all these different things. And so this is the chapter for me where I'm starting to realize that balance is going to look different moving forward, especially if I want to continue to have more of a freedom-based business where I can blend it all together and take better care of myself. But it's not going to look like some weird perfect across the line. Everything is equal. It's going to look like what matters most to me, right? So I'm prioritizing that. So I hope that you can kind of reflect on your life. And I'm going to share a couple of tips here before we close of knowing what you care about the most right now and give yourself permission to release any expectations and standards that you're holding yourself to do more or that you're not doing enough, because that is just thieving your joy. It's just sucking the life out of you, I promise, for thinking that you're not doing enough or that you should be doing more, unless it's something that is nagging at you in a way of like, oh, you know, I should really be spending a little more time with my friends. You know, community is extremely essential when it comes to longevity and happiness in life. Simply having oxytocin comes from community. And there are actually research studies that do show that no matter what toxic environment you live in, having a really solid community to kind of come back to weekly or daily actually does extend your life for the better. And so that's something that matters a lot to my husband and I. And so we're kind of reflecting and looking into how do we build that community and achieve that, because that matters a lot to us as well. So that's something where we're going to be making some big sacrifices and changes to achieve that, because that's something that I want while I am looking to establish this new balance in my life, right? So let's talk about a little bit of some, you know, kind of tips for how you can find your flow individually without chasing balance, because I think it's really important that you reflect and take some time if you are somebody who's in a transitional period in your life, or you're feeling called to have this transition, or, you know, you're forced into a transition for major life events. So the first tip would be prioritize with some intention. So it would be really good for you to kind of identify like 1 to 3 core priorities for each season of life, or this specific season of life. So for example, like if you're in a season of healing and taking better care of yourself, this is when you want to give yourself permission to kind of pull back on overworking. Maybe you find ways to delegate out duties in your life that are considered like work to you. You know, maybe you do hire a housekeeper for 2 days a month to take that off of your list. If you can't step back from like work itself, if you're somebody who does have control over your own hours, you have your own business or something like that, this is maybe where you either delegate some of your tasks to hiring somebody else, or utilizing, you know, there's a variety of AI things online now, and you can really offload. Like I've been using an AI thing for bookkeeping and it's amazing. It's taking so much off my plate. Or maybe you need to actually just hire like a bookkeeper or accountant or something like that, because tax season's coming up. Like those are things that can definitely take so much off your plate that will help you in this season of healing. because you really won't be able to heal if you keep doing the same stuff that got you to the place where you need to heal. You know what I mean? For me, it was like, I was trying so hard to work on my health while simultaneously still working very hard and helping everybody and their mom and just overextending myself. And I'm like, okay, if I'm overextended, I literally can't extend anything else to myself. And that's like, I'm in the net negative then. Like, there's nothing that's going to be beneficial from this. So I had to intentionally be like, okay, sorry, clients, I need to step back. I need to take care of myself and actually do the thing. And so if that's you, if you need to do something like that in your life, this would be a really important time to consider doing that with a little bit of intention, okay? My second tip is setting boundaries kind of based on your current needs. So, you know, no is a full sentence. That's really important to remember. No is a full sentence. You don't need to say yes to everything. You don't need to people please. You don't need to, again, overextend yourself, like I was saying. So adjust your workouts. That's like a very actionable thing you can do. There's a lot of times where, especially for my mom clients, I'm like, yo, roll it back. We should maybe only be doing 3 workouts a week, because workouts don't innately make you healthier. If you're in the negative zone of energy, you're getting bad sleep, you're underfed, your cortisol's high just from stress in general, workouts are only going to add to that in a negative way. They're not going to help you with your health at all. And so you want your workouts to do something for you for what you need. So a lot of times my mom clients need like hatha or yin yoga. So have some deep breathing and some stretching and just some peace and quiet for like an hour. Sometimes it looks like just doing like 2 full body workouts that only last about 35 minutes that are not too heavy and strenuous. Or sometimes it looks like carving out time to just cook yourself a nourishing meal because you're continuing to eat your kids' PB&J cutout thing, whatever, the Uncrustables. Like maybe that's all you've been eating because you're not giving yourself enough time. Maybe instead of doing a 30-minute elliptical session or running outside, maybe you should actually just take that time to cook yourself a nourishing meal, because that's going to fuel you and feed you so much better than that workout did. That workout's going to be net negative, okay? We're going to use that term again. So, and even if you have friendships that like take a lot of your energy, maybe you need to set more boundaries to give yourself a little bit more energy back. You know, and that sometimes is really tough because sometimes that involves like a really uncomfortable conversation, but that conversation is important to have if it's necessary, you know. And sometimes, again, you don't have to explain yourself. A lot of your closest friends or people or family should understand and know that like what you're doing for yourself is important for you and it's not an attack on them, you know. And maybe if it is something where they're like, I can't believe you're cutting me out or something like that, it's like, well, maybe you should reflect on why. You know, not to be harsh, but you know, I think that a lot of people could benefit from self-reflection, as harsh as that sounds. But my third tip would be kind of define what enough looks like right now for you. So instead of chasing like an unrealistic standard, define success for this season for you. And an example could be like right now, my version of doing well is moving my body daily through walks, walking my dog, whatever it is, or my children in their strollers, and eating nourishing meals. And that's not training 5 days a week, going to Orange Theory 4 days a week, whatever that crazy, unhealthy, but seems healthy routine that a lot of us think we need to do to attain. I think I might have talked about this before in the past, but I know my clients hear me kind of go on a soapbox about it. But you do not need to run a marathon after having a baby. Please do not do that. It's going to the sheer amount of nutrition that you need to triple to have a endurance running body and stay healthy is simply not attainable while you're raising a child that's under the age of 5. Please do not run even a 10K. Like 5K, sure, whatever. But anything more than that, I don't recommend while your child is under the age of 5. Because most people underestimate just how much they need to replace nutrient-wise. And like when I did my sports nutrition certification, it just blew my mind how much more nutrients athletes need, and endurance athletes specifically, to maintain a healthy body. And it's outrageous. So you're most likely not going to be able to eat that much, and you need to eat that much if you're going to be running that much. So please just don't do that. That is my fitness professional tip of this entire podcast. Okay, so my last tip is just embracing rest as part of productivity. So this one is kind of close to home for me because a lot of this last year was a lot about rest for me and being okay with it. And it's been not an easy path. You know, you'd think that like, oh, I'm, you know, like I wonder sometimes like if my clients just think that I'm just being lazy now that I'm married. And it's like, you clearly don't know how I operate in the background. But in reality, it's like, no, it is actually something that my husband has been actively sort of forcing me to try and do, is to chill out and to be okay with chilling out and not need to reach and chase the next thing, you know, and do the most. And, you know, he has this funny term where I'm like hyperproductive around the house. And so he'll be like, can you just chill out? Can you stop Kayleeing around the house? And it's like, I know I should probably not. I don't, it's that whole wired and tired issue that if you are somebody who also struggles with the wired and tired, you most likely have an HPA axis dysfunction. You most likely will have a cortisol dysregulated state going on in your body, because that means that you've been existing in this hyperactive state for too long and it's become normal for your body, but it is not healthy and good for your body. So take it from me, rest is an active choice. It's not a failure, and you really will show up better in every area of life when you take that time to be okay with resting and it being considered productive that you are resting, okay? And just engaging in little silly hobbies that you haven't done in years or you've always wanted to do. You know, I've been really enjoying like all my basic girls out there making sourdough at home. And it's one of those things that like making something with my hands and learning a new science, because there is an art and a science to sourdough. And it's just really soul nourishing to be doing something like that. So whether it's baking or building stuff or finally playing with your Cricut and like creating crafts and things like that, like none of that is dumb and silly and a waste of time. It's creative flow. It's something that nourishes your soul, like I said. So I think that that's really important to really reflect on and see what you can incorporate in any season of your life that engages in that kind of behavior. All right, guys, that closes out today's talk. I kind of hope that, you know, you really reflect on your own life and see where you're holding yourself to a very unrealistic standard of balance. Because again, balance is a myth. Life flows in seasons. It's not symmetrical. It's not linear. It should be a bouncy kind of curve. You know, it should look kind of like a heartbeat. It should be up and down and up and down and round and all that thing. So I think that's gonna close out today's chat. But just remember, you are not failing if you're not balancing at all. You are living, you're being a raw human self. Give yourself permission to lean into the season that you're in, no matter where you're at, no matter what other people are telling you, no matter who's nudging you or making you feel a certain way. Tune into yourself, realize where you actually are allowed to prioritize yourself and focus on what matters the most to you. You need to be a little selfish in life, okay? Being selfish is actually a good thing when it's in a state that aligns with taking care of yourself. So knowing your energy is going to shift and focus over time will give you a little more freedom to understand that balance is a myth. All right, guys, I hope that you can, you know, DM me or comment one of your biggest takeaways from today's episode if it resonated with you. And as always, I would love for you to share and rate our podcast, as it helps us grow and get a lot more exposure on all the things, because that's just the world we live in, okay? We're an algorithm world. All right, Rebel, celebrate your strength and nourishment, walk with confidence, and I'll catch you in 2 weeks on another episode of Rebel Wellness. What did you think about that episode? If you enjoyed it, I hope that you would come join my community on Instagram at Rebel Wellness Podcast or my coaching page at Kaylee Loren, or both. I would love to see your name pop up on my new follows list. I might say hello if I catch you. And I would also like to invite you to come check out my website, coachkales.com, if you're interested in seeing any more of the educational learning resources I have created for you. I have a whole ton of amazing free downloads that you can like dip your toe in the water of what working with me looks like. And if you are really vibing with what I have to say and how I teach it, come explore my courses that are available for purchase. They are all do it yourself. In the near future, I plan to have some awesome group coaching that will be all live, so stay tuned for that. And the best way to know when I'm going to launch those is through my monthly wellness newsletter, which is my hand-curated, not AI-generated, monthly all things health and wellness newsletter that I created to be your new favorite resource for staying up to date with the latest in the health world, self-care resources that I've created, and a bunch of the clean beauty picks that I personally use myself, and a whole lot more, as well as early access and discounts to anything that I create in the future for specifically my newsletter sign up. So if you'd like to sign up, head to coachkales.com and add yourself to my mailing list. Last but not least, I would absolutely love it if you would help our podcast grow by simply sharing a rating or review wherever you stream and are listening to me right now, and share it on your social medias or text it to some friends or family members if this episode resonated and was something that you think could help somebody else, because I really would love to help anybody in your circle if I've been helping you. So I absolutely am so grateful that you're here. And if you listened all the way through, you are a real one. So all right, Rebel, until next episode.